Nasruddin is a mullah or Islamic religious leader of the Sufi tradition. He features in many folk tales and fables from Turkey and other parts of the Mediterranean region dating back to the Middle Ages. Nasruddin in these stories is both clever and foolish. In one story, he rose to the pulpit in the mosque during Friday prayers as they had asked him to preach, to give a sermon. "Oh, people," he said, "do you know what I'm going to tell you?" "No, we do not know," they cried. "Well, until you know, I cannot say," the mullah said. "You're too ignorant to waste my time on." Nasruddin left the pulpit and went home. Some folks from the mosque went back to his house to ask him again to come and preach. On the following Friday at noon, he rose to speak and started the sermon with the same question: "Do you know what I'm going to tell you?" "Yes," the people replied, "we do know." "In that case," the mullah said, "there's no need for me to tell you, no need for me to detain you any longer. You may depart." And he went home. One more time, a delegation showed up at his door to ask him to try preaching again. So on the next Friday, when he rose to speak, and he asked the same opening question, the congregation was ready for him. "Do you know or do you not?" he demanded. They replied, "Some of us know, and others do not know." "Excellent," the mullah said. "Now let those who know communicate their knowledge to those who don't know." And he went home. I think this fable applies to the question, what is the meaning of life? It is tempting to try Nasruddin's third method of preaching. Who here has the meaning of life? And who doesn't? Now, speak with each other. The fable hints at how we discover and speak about what gives meaning to our lives. Parker Palmer is a spiritual teacher in the Quaker tradition. Palmer says that relationships, not facts and reason, are keys to reality. He says that by entering into relationship with one another, we can unlock knowledge of reality and the meaning of life. I don't know about you, but when I'm feeling isolated or unconnected, it can be hard to summon the energy to articulate a sense of meaning. Easy to feel small. Easy to feel boring, frankly. And this is why, in my answer to the question, I would emphasize belonging, participation, connection, and community as key to the meaning of life. Of course it is. Human beings are social animals. I read that mosquitoes and polar bears are non-social animals. We're not like them. Chimpanzees, dolphins, and penguins are social animals. We're more like them. For most of human history, the meaning of life was always to survive it. To be sure, over time, there were always teachers of compassion, leaders of wisdom and goodwill, neighbors of generosity and care. Yet most people suffered. Poverty, disease, hunger, conflict, and brutal oppression. Even today, in our world and in our neighborhoods, many folks are just hoping to make it through life. Meaning? For many people, it is a luxury to spend time and energy thinking about the meaning of life. If we are possessed by an active addiction, our primary relationship is with the focus of our addiction, and the human relationships around us suffer. If we're afflicted by poverty, violence, government abuse, or social intolerance, the meaning of life may be all about survival. At least 40% of all U.S. Americans are either low income or in poverty, according to federal standards. Though the United States is the most prosperous Western country in the world, the gap of wealth between the most well-off and the worst-off households is the highest gap of any prosperous Western country. In the words of Jean Nicol, a researcher on poverty at the University of North Carolina, the persistence of poverty wages means that many families don't have a chance to carve out a life that is not at the edge of destitution. A woman who lives in fear because of domestic abuse is forced at the very least to consider the worth of her life. In the moments of intense fear, she imagines her flight to safety, and her thoughts are about survival. The undocumented person from Central America who crosses the border into the hot and harsh desert of southern Arizona is not likely to be pondering a question of the meaning of life as he searches for the water bottles left by humanitarian volunteers. It's all about survival. The precarious lives of those who live with addiction, poverty, or the need for physical and emotional safety do not leave much room to ponder. Yet by the ways you try to survive, you demonstrate how much life means and how much you are a person of dignity and worth. Those of us with enough time and security to explore the question of meaning are fortunate. Indeed, we can appreciate the growth in humanity's freedom to explore the meaning of life when we notice how much we enjoy making humor out of the question. A number of cartoons in the New Yorker magazine have shown a person climbing a steep rock face to get to a ledge, and sitting on that flat ledge is a religious teacher or a sage sitting on the ground awaiting the big question. In one cartoon, the sage has cats crawling all around him and over him on his shoulders. "Cats," he says to the visitor, "the meaning of life is cats." Perhaps your sense of meaning depends on where you are sitting. Another example, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, is a novel by the late English writer Douglas Adams. In one famous passage, the book says, "The answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything is 42. I honestly don't recall if I read the book or heard the radio play, or heard the book on tape, or not. But I do remember hearing friends quoting that one sentence when I was in college. 20 years later, it was teenage Unitarian Universalists who recited it to me as their minister. And in 2011, two authors wrote a book, 42, to mark the decade since Douglas Adams had died. They wanted to show the number's relevance to many aspects of life, the universe, and everything. Adams, however, had said that 42 was just a joke. No hidden spiritual or scientific meaning. He said he wanted an ordinary, smallish number for the humor of it. He said, "I sat at my desk, stared into the garden, and thought, 42 will do. I typed it out, end of story." If any public figure proposes only one answer to the larger questions of life or the problems of humanity, it better be a joke. If it's not a joke, it's a risk. In history, the people or groups who have claimed to have the only answer have manipulated, suppressed, tortured, and killed people. Human beings can be lured by those who claim that there is only one right answer and are sure of it. The powerful simplicity of their conclusion can be seductive, and they are dangerous. Hence, I am relieved to say that I don't know what the meaning of life is. However, since I am asking you to take time to think about your answer to the question, I better give you mine. At least this is the answer as of Saturday morning when I wrote it down. Human life is a mystery and it is a gift. We should be present for it, pay attention to it, and share it with others. Human beings are not self-created or sustained by our efforts alone. Hence, we can experience meaning by connecting with others and participating in community. The meaning of life is to seek understanding with curiosity, to practice compassion and generosity, to cultivate joy and courage, to care for ourselves and care for others. Life can be hard, of course, but it is a gift. As a gift, life should be celebrated, appreciated, and shared. Having said all that, I wonder if it's even a useful question. What is the meaning of life? Such a grand expectation as if there is one meaning. Perhaps it is more useful to put it this way. What gives life meaning? That is a question we can all think about, each from our own perspective. What is meaning anyway? Meaning is how we make sense of the world. We assign meaning to our experiences. In the words of the anthropologist Clifford Geertz, this is how each one of us creates the story of our life and its value and its purpose, by assigning meaning to experience. In the book Making Meaning, the authors write this: aside from reflexes and instincts, human beings require an explanation of the world that helps us decide how to act. One of the three authors is an old friend of mine. They wrote it while working as business consultants in the field of experience design and marketing strategy. They wanted reliable data for their work, so they made use of 100,000 interviews conducted over several years in different countries and cultures. From those interviews, they came up with 15 categories of what people around the world consider to be meaningful experiences. In today's reading, we looked at a list of the 15 categories. It's not a complete list, it's not all the sources of meaning, yet it is their list of the most common types of meaning, meaningful experiences across countries and cultures. You may want to take that list home and reflect on it. Perhaps you can discuss it with the people you know, especially people around this congregation. The factors that give meaning to life are at play in the most crucial undertakings of our lifetimes, but also in our most ordinary moments. First, let's consider the meanings that adults might experience having to do with rearing children. For countless people over the ages, rearing children has been a big source of meaning. Yet the kind of experience it evokes will depend on each person's personality, circumstances, background, culture, and location. For example, having children can reflect the creative urge, the desire to extend your family through adoption or birth, the desire to help shape a new life. Yet in many societies, children provide security, a guarantee against old age isolation, or a source of extra hands to till the fields or staff the family business. In many traditions, having children is what you do to be a responsible member of society. So it reflects a sense of duty, and probably also a sense of accomplishment to have reared the children. Some of us do not have children, but we find meaning in our connections to them, in our families, in jobs and volunteer work, and here in this congregation. For many of us, parents or not, having children in our lives can evoke the experience of wonder at a growing person and wonder at their discoveries in the world. It also can foster a sense of community and the experience of unity, unity with individual children, with humanity, with life itself. Let's consider another example. Soda pop. In the 1960s and 70s, there were just a few soft drinks on the market, and the leader was Coca-Cola, just plain old Coke back then, sold in one or two standard sizes. As interpreted by the authors of Making Meaning, the success of Coke's market appeal was the experience of community and unity. For example, some people had drunk Coca-Cola all their lives. It had not only been part of gatherings with friends, Coke felt like a friend. Its advertisers turned a popular song about human kinship into a popular commercial. They adapted the song that went, "I'd like to teach the world to sing." They adapted it and had it sung by a diverse, informal crowd outside. The commercial version included, "I'd like to buy the world a Coke and keep it company." Friendship, unity, community, Coca-Cola. However, in the past few decades, freedom of choice has become an even more important experience in this country. Freedom has become a growing source of meaning in life. And in response to this change, companies have provided many flavors of soda pop, and there are containers of numerous shapes and sizes. Coca-Cola has had to keep up with this new competition. It's no longer able to count on loyalty as much as it used to. I'm thinking about that list of those sources of meaning: accomplishment, beauty, creation, community, duty, enlightenment, freedom, harmony, justice, oneness, redemption, security, truth, validation, and wonder. When I look at the list, I am struck by my good fortune to have been able to experience most of those factors in my life. I recognize that some of this is a result of privilege that I have. Living in this prosperous country, as a white person who is male, I have inherited many advantages. At the same time, as a gay person in the United States, I have inherited some achievements wrought by those who came before me. In this year, 2019, I have a lot more security, personal freedom, and sense of community than LGBT human beings had in past eras. If I'd been living a century ago, those aspects of a meaningful life would have been unavailable to me. To what and to whom do I owe thanks for this greater level of security, personal freedom, and sense of community? I am indebted to the people of earlier times whose devotion to fairness, justice, and equality outweighed their desire for security. Their devotion to honesty as part of the meaning of their lives often meant a sacrifice of their personal security and their freedom. Their courage to validate themselves as worthy of respect has left a legacy of equality and community where only isolation and repression had existed before. What the meaning of life is, I think that's a question without an answer. However, the question that matters is, what gives meaning to life? And this one has countless answers. And every answer brings a question of how we are to live in the world. In the coming days and weeks, I invite you to a spiritual practice of reflecting on your sources of meaning. Take some time to consider what has given meaning to your life and what gives meaning to your life in the present. Consider how that came to be, these sources of meaning in your life. Consider where you would like to direct your gratitude. What or whom can you appreciate and thank for the gifts that bring meaning to life? Consider your sources of meaning and your gratitude for them. Then consider how you might extend the opportunities for meaning in life to more people. How might you, how might we extend and share these gifts? For too many members of the human family, life has been at risk, precarious, and fleeting. This is all the more cause for us to celebrate life and share it and extend it. All the more cause to work so that more people can achieve and enjoy the elements and sources that give meaning to their lives. Human life is a mystery, and it is a gift. Life can be hard, but it is a gift. As a gift, life should be celebrated, appreciated, and shared with joy. So may we live. So may it be. Blessed be, and amen.